Okay, the title of the talk is T1D5 Systems in Theories with 16 Superchargers, Supersymmetries. And this is in collaboration with Eddie Gawa, Amin Hamu, and Francisco Morales. If I have some time, I might also comment on another work, which is to do with the ADS safety correspondence and this system that we studied here. This work is in preparation, the same collaboration. Now, D1-D5 systems in for the type 2B theory, compactifier on T4 or K3, is reasonably well understood in the sense that at least one believes that one knows the multiplicities of BPS states, etc. Well, the T4 theory has 32 superchargers and K3 has 16 superchargers. So there is indeed an example of a D1-D5 system with 16 superchargers, which is somewhat better understood. But this is, of course, a very special model, 16 superchargers. One would like to ask questions about, for example, type 1 theory, 16 superchargers which come from oriented fold type projections. And this has not been studied yet. Actually, this problem turns out seems to be very difficult, in fact. Now, in general, the U-duality would, of course, relate these two models, for example, type 2B on K3 and the type 1-like models, whereas U-dualities would relate such models. Well, here I mean K3 times S1. So one might try to ask a question whether if one could compute multiplicities of D1, D5, or various effective action terms which get contribution from such BPS states, one can ask the question about the duality between these two theories, whether they are mapped from one model to another model. Now, as I said, this is type 1. To study type 1 directly is very difficult. So what we try to do here is that, at least a starting point, to study the Z2 orbifolds of type 2B, where the Z2 could be either reflections, like in the K3 case, or oriented folding, as in the type 1 case. But we'll couple the Z2 with a shift in some direction, some extra S1, for example. What we'll see, we'll see that by including the shift in the Z2, we'll be able to apply adiabatic argument and deduce a CFT for the system, for the D1, D5 system, from the parent CFT, the parent CFT being the CFT for the type 2B on T4. Now, let me just, this transparency shows some U-duality which relates different models. First of all, let me start from type 2B on S1 cross T4, and imagine that the D1 brain is wrapped around the X1 direction, and the D5 is wrapped on the entire S1 cross T4. Then you can see that by transformations, S-duality and the T-dualities, the sequence of dualities maps a D1 and a D5 system to a fundamental string state in the end here. There's a momentum state, and that's the fundamental winding state. That is one U-duality relation, but there's also another U-duality relation, which is if you focus on this step and the fourth step out there, this step and this step here, then you see that effectively comparing these two steps, one finds that the D1 and the KK charges are exchanged as you go from this model to that model. This is important because whatever CFT we would write for a D1, D5 system, by studying the excitations of this system, we should be able to get the multiplicities for this three-charge system, and this U-duality would map it to a system where the P1, the momentum, and the D-string charges are exchanged. So one can compare the two symmetric, the CFTs for these theories. Now here I have written down how, under these U-duality transformations, how the various Z2 actions that I referred to before, the oriented folding omega, the inversions on the T4, and this is a product of this omega and I4, how they transform under these U-duality transformations. And finally, I will also need, for later purposes, the transformation properties of the axion, I mean, the zero form, the Ramon-Ramon zero form, and the Ramon-Ramon two form, where this four form, where this 2, 3, 4, 5 are the directions on the T4. The reason is that, I mean, I will be using the symmetric product CFTs for these systems, and it is generally believed that the symmetric product CFTs are valid at some non-zero values of the Ramon-Ramon forms, zero form and the four form. Well, under this transformation, you see that in the final step here, which I will always call as a fundamental string side because of the fact that this D1 and the D5 brains are mapped to the fundamental string states. So at the final step, these are mapped to just the metric and the Debye-Schwarz B field. Whereas at this intermediate step here, which we'll be discussing about, because this refers to the exchange of the D string and the momentum, Kaluza-Klein momenta, these fields are transformed into a Debye-Schwarz B field and the fourth form potential. However, the important point here to notice is that these perturbations actually break the Lorentz invariance along the common world sheet directions. I'll come back to that this point later. Okay, so the models that we'll be considering are, I mean, we start from a 2B on S1 cross T4. These were the directions I referred to in the previous transparency. But since, as I mentioned before, that I'll be always coupling these Z2 actions, Z2 being the omega or orientative folding or the reflections, I'll always couple them with a shift along some extra direction. So for this, you know, in order to realize this shift, I'll compactify one more direction, which I'll call X6. So our orbifolds will then be of the form, will be generated by an element like G times sigma shift along the X6 direction, half shift along the X6 direction, where G is one of these elements. So question is, how can we deduce the effective field theory for the D1, D5 system in such theories? Well, imagine the D1, D5, in fact, I'll be always discussing the D1, D5 systems, which are transversal to these X6 directions where we are putting the shift. I mean, one can also discuss the situations where the shift is along longitudinal to the D1, D5, but I will not enter into that in this talk. So the D1, D5 is transversal to X6, so here's my X6 directions, and these are the X1 to X5 directions where the D1 and D5 are sitting. So since we have this orbifold action, which involves a half shift, I will have to put an image, I mean, a exactly identical copy of D1, D5 system at half the radius of the X6 circle. Now, if I had not modeled the theory by this orbifold group, well, this, in other words, if I was doing this, if I was considering the system in the original type 2B theory on T4, without any orbifolding, then the effective field theory for this system would be, this system is governed by an R3 cross S1 cross some internal theory, where this R3 cross S1 is just coming from the fact that that's just a transverse direction to the D1, D5 system, the overall transverse directions. I mean, normally it is R4, but here there's an S1 because one of the transverse directions I'm compactifying. Well, so in the original type 2B theory, what we would have is actually two copies of this effective field theories. One effective field theory governing this system and other effective field theory governing this system. However, in the present case, these two systems are not independent. Once I specify the field configurations on this system, then the other field configuration there is uniquely determined. Well, basically the point is that whatever orbifold group element we are considering, G, this G, that will induce an action on G hat on M, where M is this unknown theory that I'm just, just symbolizing it. And therefore, what we'll have is that the theory here, I mean, the field configuration here will determine the field configuration there. And as a result, this entire system will be described by just one copy of this effective field theory. Well, at this stage, it seems that there is no difference between the original type 2B or this situation, because this effective field theory was the effective field theory for the type 2B case. But the difference comes because by considering the global considerations, and that can be easily seen in the following way. that imagine that I start moving this entire system, I start shifting this entire system along the x6 directions. So I start from this, so suppose I'm parameterizing the system by the effective field theory on this set of brains, and I start shifting this entire system along the x6 directions. So if one shifts the system in such a way that x6 goes to x6 plus, I mean, half the circumference, pi r6, and at the same time, the field configurations in the theory M is mapped to g hat acting on M, then the system is indistinguishable from the previous system. All one is doing is that one is describing now the system in terms of the effective field theory in the second set of D1, D5 system. So therefore, the system should describe the same original system. What it tells us is that, what this global consideration tells us is that the effective field theory is in fact a Z2 or B-fold of the parent effective field theory. Parent effective field theory being the effective field theory for type 2B, the standard type 2B situation. And this Z2 is just a G hat times a sigma, where sigma is again the shift x6 goes to x6 plus pi r6. Okay. So now the basic, so what we now want to do is to identify, well, what is this M and what is this G hat for the different, G's, I mean different orbifolding, folding, omega, orientifolding folding or reflections. Well, we take the, as I said in the beginning, we'll take the symmetric product CFT as a starting point for the parent theory, which is the type 2B on T4. And this, for this system, the symmetric product theory is basically a T4 times T4 to the N over SN. There has been much critical discussion on whether this, this is a correct conjecture or not. And I would say that it's generally believed that this symmetric product CFT is perhaps correct for Q5 equal to 1 and Q1 equal to N, the number of 5 brains and number of 1 brains, and at non-zero waves for the RR fields, RR0 forms and RR4 forms. Okay. There has been a lot of literature on this. So anyway, I'll start from the symmetric product theory. And I should just mention here one fact that for this situation, one can interpret these various fields, T4 and T4 to the N. One can understand the physical interpretations of this. For Q5 equal to 1, this T4 is nothing else but the Wilson line of the U1 gauge theory on the T4. So it's actually the dual T4. And this T4 to the N is nothing else but the position of the D strings inside the D5 brain. And of course, there's an SN action because they're identical. Now, for these fields, I just display here the supermultiplets, the 4-4 supermultiplets. This theory has a 4-4 supersymmetry. This is the overall transverse, the position, transverse position, transfers to the system, which is in our cases R3 cross S1 instead of being R4 in the usual cases studied before, is simply because we have compactified X6 along the S1 direct on a circle. And here this A and Y are denoting the two SU2s. The little group of the system again is SO4, which is the SO4 action. SO4 is the tangent space group on the R3 cross S1, which I'm writing it as SU2A cross SU2Y, and these labels are just the two SU2 labels here. So here is the bosonic field of the R3 cross S1 and the corresponding fermion partners. This is the T4, which is the Wilson line of the fibrain U1, which I denote by A and the fermionic partners, and similarly T4 to the N, which physically represents the positions of D1, D strings inside the D5, I label by XI. And again, the fermionic partners here. Okay. Now, having this interpretation in mind, as this being the Wilson line and that being the position, we can immediately deduce the action, the G hat, for the different situations when G is I4 or inversion or the oriented folding. And that is very simple. For example, in the inversion case, what it should do is it should do nothing on the overall transverse position, because this inversion is acting on the T4, on the internal T4. However, it should give a minus sign. It should reflect both the Wilson line and the position of the D-string inside the D5 brain. For the case of oriented folding, omega projection, it should again do nothing to this position, the overall transverse position. It should, however, give a minus sign to the U1, because we know that the U1 should be projected out. And finally, here you have the positions of the D-strings inside the D5 brain. That, again, this omega should do nothing to that. So it should be plus sign here. And omega I4 is the product of course, these two. Note that this action is such, one knows that for the I4 model, the D1, D5 system is 4-4 supersymmetric, whereas for the oriented fold model, omega type 1 type models, D1, D5 system has 4-0 supersymmetry. So given this knowledge, we can immediately deduce, and the action on the bosonic fields, we can deduce the action on the fermionic fields. So the result of this is that the G hat for these three cases, I4, omega, and omega I4, is simply the Z2 action on the symmetric product theory. Now here I have used the superscript center of mass and the symmetric product just to indicate that this reflection, I4, is acting on the center of mass, the T4, which comes outside the symmetric product, which means the Wilson line, T4. And this inversion is acting on the symmetric product, T4. And similarly, this minus 1 to the F left is just the F left being the total fermion number of the left movers. I just make a comment here that although I'll not be discussing longitudinal shift case, the longitudinal shift case, in that case, it just happens that, well, the G hat, of course, is the same, except that now the shift is along the longitudinal direction. So therefore, what it would say is that the various fields here will be periodic or antiperiodic along the longitudinal direction, along this direction x1, depending on the eigenvalues of G hat, whether it's plus eigenvalue or minus eigenvalue. But I will not discuss that. The reason why I will not discuss this is that this turns out to be more subtle. The U-duality chain that I displayed in one of the previous transparencies, that becomes much more subtle for the longitudinal shift case. Okay, so what is the general problem? The general problem is we have, in order to compute, say, multiplicities, what we need is something of this type. We have a CFT, a symmetric product CFT, some CFT to the N modded by SN, the permutation group. But then we have a further Z2 action. Okay. Now, suppose that this single copy of the CFT has, we can write down the partition function. Here you have Q to the L0, Q bar to the L0 bar. And I have coupled y and y tilde to the two SU2s, SU2a and SU2y, which was part of the little group, SO4. Okay, and let's say that, now since I have the Z2 action, and the Z2 will act on, a single copy of the CFT, so I can write down the four sectors, the four twisted sectors, the four sectors, which I denote by ZAB, where AB are plus and minus. And these are the twists along the sigma and T direction. So this will be of generically of some such form. This is just the definition of these coefficients. Right. Now, we'll be interested in putting delta bar equal to 0 because ultimately we'll be interested in the elliptic genus computation. So one sector we have to put at the ground state. Then one can easily prove by just following the standard procedure of computing the partition function or elliptic genus for the symmetric product, what one finds finally is such a formula. It's not important to focus on the details, but I'm just flashing this transparency to show that actually one can, relatively easily compute this partition function. Here I've set Q delta bar equal to 0. So in other words, the right moving sector I've set to at the ground state. But otherwise, one can also write down a more general formula including the excitations of the right mover sector, right moving sector. Now, using this formula now, we can go back to the, actually, let me just put this transparency here. So, I mean, using this, we have, of course, a general formula for now the CFT that we are proposing for this system, and then we can look at the ground state, meaning delta bar equal to delta equal to zero, in which case there is no excitation of the Kaluza-Klein momentum. Then whatever the multiplicity of the ground state we should compute here, we can compare it with the last step here, where this is nothing else but the perturbative string states whose multiplicities we know. And in fact, it turns out that by using this formulae and setting delta I also equal to zero, we can compute these multiplicities, and it indeed agrees with the fundamental string sector. So that's a confirmation that the CFT makes, I mean, is not completely wrong. Now let me go to the three charge system. So I have turned on all the three charges, and let me just discuss this and raise a puzzle here, somewhat of a puzzle. Now, suppose there exists a u-duality between these two models. In fact, it's shown here, the first step and the fourth step here, which exchanges the D1 and the D-string and the Kaluza-Klein charges. Then what we would have is that, I mean, if this u-duality would say is that the elliptic genus computed in this model and the electric genus computed in this model should be related by this, by exchange of P and Q. The reason is that the power of P measures the Kaluza-Klein charge, whereas the power of P measures the D-string charge, whereas the power of Q measures the Kaluza-Klein charge. So since I'm exchanging these two quantum numbers, so we have this, we expect such a symmetry. Okay. Now let's consider this particular case where at the first step, I take the I4 theory. Then by following there, we see that at the fourth step, this I4 is mapped to omega I4. So we have the fourth step, we have omega I4. Now the D1, D5 system here is a 4-4 supersymmetric, whereas the D1, D5 system here is a 4-0 supersymmetric. Well, let's start from the elliptic genus computation here. Well, this elliptic genus would be of such a form, generic form, where this part is the elliptic genus coming from the center of mass part of the CFT, which means outside the symmetric product. And this part is what I call the internal part, which is coming from the symmetric product. This one will, of course, only depend on Q, not on P, whereas the symmetric product part will depend on also P and Q. Furthermore, let me again rewrite this internal part, the symmetric product part, in terms of what I call the fundamental, E fundamental, the elliptic genus, which is basically just the Q to the zero term of the left-hand side. And then this E hat summarizes all the remaining pieces. The reason why I separated this is that this part just has information about the two charge system, the D-string and the D5 brain system. How much time I have? 5 minutes. Okay. So therefore, it's convenient to separate this. Well, so going back to that equation, the u-duality therefore would imply that for the model A and the model B, which means the model at the first step and the model at the fourth step, the center of mass elliptic genus should be mapped to the fundamental, I mean this part here, because I'm exchanging P and Q. Okay, we find such a relation. Now, it turns out that the Z2s, the CFTs that we have proposed for these models, they satisfy these two conditions, but not the last one. So what is going wrong? Actually, it turns out this is a much more generic phenomenon. Actually, what one can show is that if in the 4-4 side, you assumes a symmetric product theory in the 4-4 side, then in the 4-0 side, there is no CFT. There's no CFT interpretation. So let me just briefly go to this general argument. So I start with the model A, which is a 4-4 supersymmetric model. And let's suppose that this model has symmetric product CFT. So then, as I said before, the elliptic genus would be of this form, the center of mass, the fundamental, and then the remaining pieces. Now, what is the property of this elliptic genus? Well, for Q to the zero, which means the ground state here, there is no Kruse-Klein charge excitation, this has a zero of this, the second order zero in as y goes to one. This is so because the ground state here is half BPS. I mean, it's a 4-4 supersymmetric theory, it's a half BPS. So the order of zero will be, I mean, it's a short multiplet, the short multiplet, so the order of zero will be second order. On the other hand, if you excite the Kruse-Klein charge, this becomes a 1/4 BPS state. And therefore, for all the q to the m powers where m greater than 0, this elliptic genus will have a fourth order 0, which will be so y minus 1 to the 4. That's simply because this is a 1/4 BPS state. Now, if this u-duality is correct, which means we're exchanging p and q, well, this will be mapped here, where I just exchange q and p. Now let's expand this this expression. Let's extract the coefficient of p to the 1 here, which basically would mean that would be the elliptic genus for a single D-string charge in the u-dual theory. And this expansion would basically give, you'll have the expansion from here would be, I call E1 QY, I just expand p to the 1 here. But remember that I've removed from here the fundamental part, which is the q to the zero term here. So I have to subtract this piece here, so which means it's just the ground state I have to subtract here. So that is this contribution coming from here. And then finally, this term is just expansion, p to the one expansion of the center of mass. Now, this object has a well-defined modular property in as a function of q and y. Okay. So now this entire quantity will have a well-defined modular property only if these two quantities are equal, they cancel each other. Otherwise, this combination will not have a well-defined modular property in q and y as a function of q and y. Here I just described the same thing, elliptic genus. But that's impossible, because the E1 measures the number of half BPS states, which in general is not zero. For example, for type 2B on K3 or the model I4 that I'm studying here, this is certainly not zero as y goes to 1. On the other hand, F1y is zero because of the reason that this F1y actually measures the 1/4 BPS states in the u-dual theory. So this goes to zero as y goes to 1. So the two quantities cannot be equal, and that shows that when you exchange the p and q, the resulting expression will not have a well-defined modular property, and therefore it cannot arise from any CFT. I mean, irrespective, I'm not even assuming any symmetric product CFT on the 4-0 side. So, what is the possible resolution? Well, one can, of course, argue that after all, these three charge states are all 1/4 BPS states, and they might not be stable in the entire moduli space. For example, already one knows in the n equal to 4 super Yang-Mills theory, the 1/4 BPS states which arise from three-string junctions are not stable in the entire moduli space. So therefore, there is no reason then to expect that the two quantities should be the same. However, we don't think that that's the case. The reason is that in the model A, which is a 4-4 supersymmetric theory, the singular subspace in the moduli space, which means the subspace at which the system becomes threshold, is of codimension, of real codimension greater than 1, and in the moduli space. So therefore, this seems to suggest that elliptic genus should not jump for this theory, which in turn seems to suggest that the three-charge system of D1, D5, and the KK, I mean, this particular system, is perhaps stable in the entire moduli space. But the other possible, the second point that I would like to make is that perhaps the resolution of this puzzle is that the symmetric product theory is in fact defined at chi equal to half, not at chi equal to zero. Chi being, remember, chi is the Ramon-Ramon zero form. And as I mentioned before, that this chi, I mean, here it's clear that this chi is mapped to, at this fourth step, it is mapped to some field, which actually breaks the Lorentz invariance of the world sheet. So in fact, one cannot really compare the two two sides. I should also point out that in the 4-0 theory, chi is not a modulus. However, chi equal to half, you can turn on its discrete Z2 value for the chi, chi being the Ramon-Ramon 0 form. So there is no way to continuously go from chi equal to 0 to chi equal to half on the 4-0 side, on the orientifold side. So in fact, these two theories are actually distinct theories. They are, in general, distinct theories, different theories on the 4-0 side. So actually, there is no reason then to expect this PQ exchange symmetry if it is indeed true that the symmetry product theory is defined at chi equal to half. Okay. I had some comment about the ADS-CFT. I will not, I'll just state the result without going into any detail. I mean, we can study the ADS, the near horizon geometries for these systems, D1, D5 systems. And although we are discussing R3 cross S1, but if the radius of the last S1 where we are applying the shift is sufficiently large, then in the near horizon geometry, it will basically look like ADS 3 cross S3 cross T4. I mean, there will be two stacks of D1, D5, and near, the neighborhood of each of such stack, there would be ADS 3 cross S3 cross T4, the near horizon limit. One can carry out this analysis of Ella Jan de Boer and compute, in fact, elliptic genus, the supergravity elliptic genus. And what we find is that even for the orientifold theory, if you compute this elliptic genus, supergravity elliptic genus, that is, in fact, consistent with the, so in other words, what I'm saying is that if you compute the supergravity elliptic genus for this model, omega I4 model, then what we find is that that is not consistent, that does not give the symmetric product theory that we are proposing here, but in fact, what it is consistent with is a symmetric product theory here with a PQ exchange, right? That again seems to be consistent with this observation that perhaps the symmetric product theory is really defined at chi equal to half, and not, so therefore, the two results will be different. I think I'll just stop here.
Questions?
Yeah. Restate the conclusion, yeah. You mean the ADS part, the last part? Well, the conclusion is that, at least for this set of models where we couple this some Z2 actions with a shift, we can, make a reasonable guess on the CFT describing the D1, D5 systems, which is consistent with the two-charge multiplicities. But at the three-charge multiplicities, it does not satisfy the u-duality requirements, and the resolution that we are proposing to that is that that the theory is, in fact, defined at the chi equal to half point, and therefore there is no reason to expect the three-charge u-duality. ADS consideration also seems to support the same conclusion.
Any other question? Okay, if not, then let's thank the speaker. We meet at 11:30.